Maybe it's Artscape, the annual outdoor arts festival in Mount Vernon in July. Or maybe it's the yearly venture to Ocean City with friends and family for a long weekend. Maybe it's an outdoor movie or a seasonal drink. Or maybe, if you're like me, it's catching a baseball game at Camden Yards or checking out a new park or hiking trail. Whatever summer in Baltimore means to you, it's here, and before long it won't be. This is Roughly Speaking Newsroom Edition, the flagship podcast of the Baltimore Sun, featuring stories from our city and our state that you can't get anywhere else. I'm Pamela Wood. Thanks for joining us. On this episode, everything you need to know to make this a summer well spent. We bring on arts and entertainment reporter Samir Rao, fashion and pop culture reporter John Williams IV, and film and culture reporter Chris Kaltenbach to give you the rundown of this year's can't-miss events and trips to include in your summer calendar. Features team, take it away.
Thanks, Pamela. I'm John Williams IV, and I'm a features reporter here at the Baltimore Sun, and I've lived here 14 years.
My name is... Pick up your cue. Okay, yep. There you go. My name is Chris Kaltenbach. I'm a features and entertainment reporter here at the Sun. I've been here longer than I care to think about, but I've lived in the city all my life, so coming up on 60 years.
Mm-hmm. I'm Samir Rao, also in the features department focusing on arts and entertainment, and I've been here for a grand total of just under 1 year. So, speaking with a much different perspective than these gentlemen.
Absolutely.
So, between us, we've got about 3/4 of a century. So, we're cooking.
We are.
We are cooking.
A lot of shared knowledge.
Stand back.
Yeah. We're excited to give you a rough preview of what's in store this summer, including some of our personal favorites and things we've covered for the paper. Let's start with events. My personal favorite event, it's not really an event. It's basically dining al fresco. I think during this time of year, restaurants are able to put out the chairs and, you know, dust off the decks and open up the rooftops. And Baltimoreans really seem to respond to that. I do have a little laundry list of places where our listeners can go this summer. So Uzo Bay in Harbor East is always popular, but they've just opened up Uzo Beach, which is just across the street, and it's an outdoor bar. So there's a DJ, there are a lot of, you know, movers and shakers. It's fun and it's crowded and people love the shiny new glittery things. So that will definitely be a pick for me for having a hot spot to go to. And then obviously in that Harbor East area, there's Lock Bar, there's Chingale, there's Lebanese Taverna. And then moving a little bit over to Fells Point, you have Bond Street Social, Bar Cocina. And then in a few other areas, you have Sandlot, which is by itself. And it's a beach-themed bar from the people who brought you, what is the name of that place that I never go to anymore? It's in Clipper Mill.
Ringing endorsement. There you go.
5 stars.
Woodbury Kitchen. That's it.
There
Woodbury Kitchen.
That's
yes.
A great place, the place too. John never goes anymore.
I don't go anymore because everybody else goes there. But I do go to La Cuchara, which is right around the corner, and they have a fantastic happy hour, and they also have outdoor seating. So that's fantastic. And then going into the Station North area, Orto's, fantastic. Tapas Teatro, they all have outdoor seating. And these are all places that you should probably hit up. And then right here where we are in the Sun area, the Baltimore Sun area in Port Covington, there's Rice Through Tavern, and then there's Nick's Fish House. If you go to any of these places, you'll have an opportunity for nice alfresco dining and pretty good food. So that's my event, alfresco dining. That's what I'm picking for the summer.
Yeah, one place I feel like I can't recommend highly enough is actually, you know, going back to what you're saying about the Harbor East area, because that area feels so dynamic right now, and there are things like Sandlot popping up. You know, one sort of, I guess at this point, new-ish place, which was actually, I was lucky that the first thing I wrote for The Sun was a preview of this place, was Keystone Corner.
I remember that.
Yeah, which if people don't know, Keystone Corner is in Harbor East in the old Muscle Bar and Grill spot. It is co-run by that restaurant's chef running the kitchen, doing a sort of Belgian-inspired bar food menu that has, like, amazing scallops, amazing chicken dish, I think a great prime rib and other kinds of things, as well as an amazing cocktail menu. It's also a jazz club, And Robert's co-presenting this with Todd Barkan, who is known in the jazz world for having basically been booking jazz shows for the better part of six decades, starting with the original Keystone Corner in San Francisco in the 70s.
He's new to this game.
He's new to, pretty much. He's new to Baltimore specifically, but he was also recently honored for his contributions to the jazz world as a booker and event producer and curator, as a National Endowment of the Arts Jazz Master, which is a huge honor for anyone in that world. So he's taken this energy, partnering up with a great chef to produce, you know, a great dining experience, a great drinking experience, as well as one of the sort of premier jazz experiences that you can find in this area. And I can't recommend going to Keystone Corner, whether for music or for just eating and drinking, enough.
And when you talk about alfresco dining, and I'm going to dovetail this into my love of the movies, there are two recommendations I would make and two things I love doing during the summer that kind of combine those. One is, you mentioned Tapas Teatro. I love going to Tapas Teatro, sitting outside, having a nice meal, and then going to the Charles and seeing whatever's there.
What kind, what dish do you get when you go to Tapas Teatro?
Well, I usually get some kind of egg dish.
Oh.
They stopped the Ranchos Huervos, and forgive my Spanish pronunciation.
I think it's Huevos Ranchos,
Was I even close? Yeah. But that was one of the best things they had. They don't have that in the menu anymore, but they do have several other egg dishes they have. They also have this wonderful thing with squid and the spinach. I mean, there's so many wonderful things to eat at Tapas.
Oh, yeah.
And as I say, on a nice night, when you can sit outside and then catch a good movie, or even catch a movie first and then sit outside, great way to spend a night.
And you have two movie options now. You have Parkway down the street, and then you have...
Walk another two blocks, and you've got the Parkway.
Yep.
So between the Parkway and the Charles, you're definitely going to find something that you'll enjoy. Somewhat on a different scale, but an even more enjoyable night to me, and can be somewhat about the food, is a weekend night at the Benji's.
I love
going to the Benji's. Drive-in is still one of the great civic treasures of the Baltimore area. And to go there, if you're really into it, you can catch three movies. Usually it starts with a PG and then a PG-13 and then an R, so you get the whole evening's experience. And while it may not be the best food in the area, the most extensive snack bar anywhere in town as far as a movie theater is concerned. And it's such a great experience. I would urge people who haven't tried it to try it. And those who have tried it, keep going back there.
Have you ever done the triple feature?
Once.
All three? Okay.
Once. And I think I fell asleep during the last one.
I feel like I need like a catheter or something to complete that.
There's plenty of caffeinated drinks to keep you going. Even besides the movie, just the ambiance and having all the people around, and you know, everybody's listening off their radios, and that's of course how you get the sound nowadays. You don't have the speakers anymore. It's just a wonderful place to go. So
neat.
I put in my plug for the Benji's as both an alfresco dining experience and a chance to see a hopefully a pretty cool movie. I remember seeing one of the Superman movies there, and when Superman was out in space, and you had this shot of space taking up the entire screen, and then you had the dark sky. It was like the whole sky became your movie screen. It can be very cool.
Nice.
If I can piggyback off of that for a cinematic/dining experience, I'm a huge fan of the Cinebistro in Hamden, in the shopping mall around, I believe, 40th Street.
You're right near the Rotunda, right?
Yeah. Well, I guess it's in the Rotunda.
The old Rotunda.
Yeah.
What we've classically referred to as the Rotunda. Right?
Yeah. Which I think Google Maps might still do that.
Really?
So
I'd like to use the Rotunda.
I like to use that term. But it's part of a smallish nationwide chain of places where basically it's trying to create a nice sort of fine dining experience that's still pretty accessible around some of the, you know, bigger movies that get shown, whether they're bigger as, you know, commercial projections or critically acclaimed, what have you. And as we enter the summer blockbuster season, I think it's a great place to go. You go about 30 minutes before, and you can order drinks at your seat as well as food with a server. They'll bring them out mid-movie. I think at some point in the middle of the movie, they'll like come and check, just do you want anything, et cetera. I think it's a really great way to sort of combine all of these sort of desires for a luxurious, relaxing experience, something that feels intimate, that also can still feel like going out and leaving the home. It's something that's like probably just as relaxing as watching a movie at home, but it still feels like an event.
Just do be sure you've got a good bit of space in your credit card when you go there.
It's yes,
not,
absolutely.
It's not a cheap experience.
$18 for a movie.
Yeah.
Although I was just there 3 weeks ago.
Although they do discounts on Tuesdays to where I think it's about $11 per ticket.
Oh, that's not bad.
Don't quote me on the number, but it is. But it's, you know, it's something to look out for, basically.
Absolutely.
A great experience.
Also something to look out for, Hamilton. So the Tony Award-winning piece is coming to Baltimore finally after what seems like a decade. I feel like Hamilton's been around since like Hector was a puppy, and now it's finally getting to Baltimore. And surprise, surprise, there are like a million seats available. Oh, imagine that. Imagine the fact that everyone has already gone to New York or D.C. or I went to Chicago or L.A. I mean,
or
and,
D.C., yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And now that it's finally come to Baltimore, guess what? People aren't going to buying tickets.
There aren't a ton of seats available. I was looking the other day, actually, just to kind of get a feel for what's there. The, the cheaper seats, and of course, relative terms are cheap seats. I think 140 was the cheapest seat. They're gone.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the cheapest seat I could find was 199, and that was on a matinee, and I think that was one seat. It's probably gone by now.
Wow.
And you're talking, I think the most expensive are about $325. So it's a dear experience. It's not cheap, but it's worth it.
But I do have a deal for our listeners.
All right.
They have started a digital lottery. So for every show, they're going to offer up 40 seats at $10 a seat. And these will be orchestra seats, really good, you know, views of the actual show. So if you're lucky enough, there are 40 available, and they're $10 each, which is great. It's running until July 21st.
Yeah, it starts the 26th of June, right?
Yep, no. 25th, I believe. One day off or whatever. And also for Hamilton fans, the Hippodrome is joining with Everyman Theater for Hamiltoons. So it's going to be a $17 experience where you can sing along and do karaoke with Hamilton songs. Okay. So they're hoping that, you know, these Hamilton fanatics, I guess, or people who just love the material so much will actually want to extend their experience and go and do karaoke in front of other Hamilton fans.
The rumor it happened. I will just add to the Hamilton frenzy that the Maryland Historical Society on either the 26th or the 27th, I'm sorry, I don't remember the exact date, but they're having a lecture by a University of Maryland professor talking about what Hamilton gets right, what it gets wrong, you know, how you go about taking history and turning it into a big production musical, a big popular musical. It sounds a lot more fascinating than it might sound on first blush.
Oh, gosh.
It's not just an academic sort of, you know, Hamilton was not this and George Washington was not that and Thomas Jefferson was this. It sounds like it's a lot more about kind of the process of bringing these historical pieces, putting them to music and making them good for the mass audience. Sounds like it should be really interesting. So, as I say, it's either the 26th or 27th. Check out
the Maryland Historical Society. The Maryland Historical Society is also going to be pretty popular this fall when they bring in Christian Siriano and Bishmi Cromarty from Project Runway. They're going to do a fashion show and presentation, so that should be interesting and something to look out for. That will probably be part of our Fall Arts Guide. I know it will be because I'm going to be writing that story.
If it's not, somebody better tell you quickly. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Speaking of plugs, I think we should shout out our beach guide because we put in so many hours of work into it. And it's out now for everyone to enjoy. I basically shout out Virginia Beach and Atlantic City. There are two great areas that I think you should be able to go to. And if you're kind of tired of like the traditional beach experience and you want to do something that's like in a beach type town, I think both of these towns are excellent places to go to. Virginia Beach has a Cavalier Hotel, which is revamped and just a beautiful place. There's a distillery in the hotel. It's fantastic.
But Ocean City is a wonderful place too. Let's not neglect.
I can't speak with expertise about Ocean City.
Let's not send everybody out of state.
But I feel like a lot of people go to Ocean City, and maybe you don't want to run into your neighbor or a person that seriously you might want to go off the beaten path a little bit or whatever. And Ocean City to me has always seemed like it's so overcrowded. But I mean, it's a rite of passage, definitely for Baltimoreans and Marylanders. They love Ocean City.
You free state trader. Yeah. I can't believe it. I'm reporting you right now. No, I understand what you're saying. But, I mean, you go to Ocean City, you got the boardwalk, which is still a tremendous amount of fun just to walk. You can go to Assateague for the day and hang out with the wild ponies. You can drive up to Dewey and Fenwick. And I mean, it's just Ocean City's got this wonderful central location. I've always had a soft spot for Ocean City, especially if you can find one of those kind of oldish condos up in the 120s and 130s. You know, get something on the oceanfront. Maybe up a couple stories, you get this wonderful view of the ocean.
Cool. What else should we talk about now? Should we talk about movies? What movies are you excited about this summer? Anything?
Well, I think the most exciting thing that I'm looking forward to is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, is that, you know, the head of the studio, Tom Rothman, who's a Baltimore boy, as a matter of fact, born and raised in the Mount Washington area. He's talked often about how he wants to make movies that are slightly more adult and that can still bring in the huge audiences. You know?
And
not that there's anything wrong with Avengers Endgame, but I think he's, you know, trying to aim a little bit at a slightly older demographic that can still bring the people in and such. And if Quentin Tarantino and Brad Pitt and Margot Robbie and Leonardo DiCaprio, you know, if they can bring them in. Everything I've heard about this film sounds like it's going to be a winner. Whether it's going to make $1 billion in the first week like Endgame did, I'm very anxious to see it.
And I'm sure it's going to be a contender for award season.
Oh, sure.
You have plenty of marquee actors, and Tarantino is like always a favorite for at least a nomination. So
there are a lot of Yesterday is another one that I think is going to be a lot of fun to see.
Is that the Beatles?
That's the Beatles, where the Beatles-less universe, where only
that's
only one person.
I'm most excited for. Yeah. As I think I've told both of you off radio, I think that this is quite an exciting movie. You know, as a South Asian American person, there are a lot of South Asians in the UK. I think they're among the largest, you know, groups of color in that country. Derived, of course, from this history of colonialism. And they don't get a lot of representation in pop culture, especially the stuff that comes over stateside. And I think that the idea of a movie where a South Asian British man is the only person alive to remember the songs of this iconic British band, and a British band that also borrowed a lot from Indian music, as well as other sorts of like music.
So American blues and all that,
as well as other communities of color, you know, borrowing from reggae, which is another, like the West Indian community in the UK is such an influential and massive and undervalued or under-showcased, I guess, in pop culture community. You know, I think that just the whole conceit of the movie is really fascinating. I couldn't have imagined a movie like this being made, you know, 5-6 years ago.
And let's not forget, we have Dora the Explorer as a high school student coming back in, what's it, Dora and the Lost City of Gold, I think.
Yeah, do you know when that comes out?
As a matter of fact, it is scheduled for August 9th.
That's good to know, yeah.
No one has mentioned The Lion King, which I think is going to, like, rip the crap out of everything.
Really, that's a very good point.
I really think so. Because
I do.
It just seems like so many of the Disney live action things have kind of thudded.
But a thud for them is like a big splash for everybody else.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I don't think Disney has to go hat in hand to try to collect. But, you know, I don't think Beauty and the Beast did a whole lot. I mean, it did plenty of business, but I don't think I talked to one person who saw it and was really enthused about it.
I mean, on the strength of the talent alone involved in The Lion King, you have Beyonce, Donald Glover, John Oliver, Chiwetel Ejiofor, all these other folks who are like extraordinarily not only visible in the pop culture space, but do really interesting things with it. You know, when you have like two of your main leads are probably two of the most innovative A-list artists, musicians working today. You know, I think that I'm hoping that that kind of credibility of talent will elevate this Lion King above sort of the other things that pop up in this fervor to remake
things from the 90s
and before
right
now.
Yeah, I mean, I just love to see that talent lineup involved in something that's not simply a retread of a movie of a much loved animated film from 3 decades ago or 2 decades ago. And I know we're getting perilously close to our time limit here, but I think we'd lose our Charm City creds if we didn't mention Artscape. Which dovetails nicely this year with probably one of the events I'm looking forward to most this summer. It is July 19th to the 21st, and on that Saturday is the 50th anniversary of the moon landing. So Artscape is using that as an excuse to have, I think, exploration as kind of the centerpiece of their of Artscape this year. I know there's going to be all kinds of fascinating things going on, not just here in Baltimore, but all over the country and the world. That, I think, is going to be a fascinating sort of historical focus to the summer, as well as Woodstock's 50th anniversary, which is also this summer.
That's right.
So Artscape is going to have a lot of things going on with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And if I can jump off the Artscape thing really quickly, I think that one thing that's interesting about both Artscape and the African-American festival, AFRAM, which happens the weekend of August 10th, is that they kind of use these as an opportunity to highlight the history of African-American music in this country and specifically highlight some sort of like throwback, or I guess what some people might consider throwback R&B artists. So for Artscape, I'm really excited about SWV coming through and performing, you know, the 90s R&B group. And for AFRAM, I'm very excited that Hometown Heroes, Drew Hill, are coming back for another year, as well as there's going to be a showcase, Teddy Riley and Friends, on, I believe, the Sunday night of AFRAM, which they usually save for some of the older, more classic artists. I especially think about just how much of R&B music and hip-hop music now is so referential of that era from the late 80s, early 90s, now the new Jack Swing era, sort of, you know, the beginnings of the sample-based R&B kind of thing, like what Mary J. Blige was doing on What's the 411.
And still does.
And still does.
No Which shade, Mary.
Innovative at the time, and I don't know. I don't want to get attacked by Mary stans. But I think that those are, you know, the whole AFRAM and Artscape musical lineup is really interesting, but those are just a handful of acts that I think will be really, really exciting to see and for free.
And I think I would be remiss if I didn't mention, and there were people who wouldn't forgive me, that just bouncing off your music thing, the world's greatest rock and roll band is coming to the area twice in the next month. The Rolling Stones will be playing in Washington on July 3rd and then in Philadelphia on the 28th. Yes, I have tickets for both. I'm a sorry case. You know, with their lead singer with the new heart, valve at least. So there's some very, very cool music possibilities. This summer in all kinds of areas. But
I don't even want to ask you how much you spend for those tickets.
No, you don't.
They don't do a lottery.
But there are still tickets available.
There are still tickets available.
So
it'll
cost you less than it costs you to go see Hamilton. So how's that?
Oh, wow.
So there you go.
All right, Pamela, thank you for having us on, and we will see you next time.
And that wraps up this week's Newsroom Edition. Thank you for joining us. For more audio from the Baltimore Sun, head on over to baltimoresun.com/roughlyspeaking or wherever you get your audio. And while times change, the need for quality journalism doesn't. So please consider subscribing to the Baltimore Sun at baltimoresun.com/subscribe. For producers Hallie Miller and Steve Early, thanks again, and we'll see you back here next week.